Hello, this is Dr. Laura Hannes-Webb of VisionarySoul.com, author of The Gift of ADHD and Listening to Depression, here today for the Sweet Spot program. Tune in weekly to find where your passion meets your purpose. This show is committed to helping you find, embrace, and live in your sweet spot. You can find us online at iTunes, at SweetSpotPodcast.com, at PsychJourneyPodcast.com, and many other places. And today, I'm very excited to be interviewing Mark Allen, the author of Visionary Business. And Mark is an internationally renowned seminar leader, entrepreneur, author, and actually even a music composer, believe it or not. And he co-founded New World Library with Shakti Gawain and has guided the company as president and publisher from a small startup to its current position as a highly profitable player in the independent publishing world. And we're going to hear a little bit about a fictionalized version of his own personal journey in the publishing industry and creating his successful business. And he'll tell us a little bit more later about where you can find him, but you can check him out at markallen.com and newworldlibrary.com. But welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Laura.
Well, I can hardly think of a more appropriate time to be talking about your book as we record. It's, days after Madoff has gotten his 150-year sentence, and, we're in the wake of all these unbelievable bankruptcies that, 20 years ago people could not have even imagined would be happening. Mm-hmm. But your book paints a very different picture of what a business can be like. What can you tell us? What are your reflections about what's going on in the world now and what you have to say?
Well, I loved how you opened the show, and your theme, where your passion meets your purpose, sums up a lot of what I say, the whole real early on in visionary business. I have people reflect on their purpose. And the Bernie Madoffs of the world, the big banks of the world, the Enrons of the world have forgotten their purpose. And it gets that simple. When you get down to it, our purpose is to serve others in some way. It's to love and serve ourselves and others. And the Bernie Madoffs of the world forgot that. And when you do, you can create huge problems for yourself. Mm-hmm. His purpose should have been serving his investors. Mm-hmm. And he had you could call it a sacred trust. I mean, when you have other people's money, that is a trust. It's a fiduciary responsibility, as my CFO here says, which has to do with trust. And if you remember, like Enron's purpose had to do with a great distribution of energy. They really had that down. They were the seventh largest U.S. corporation. They forgot their purpose and thought that it was all about just making money. And if you think your work is all about making money, you're misguided, and you can make totally wrong decisions that in the end hurt not only a lot of other people, but you too.
Absolutely. And I mean, the thing I also love about your book is that you talk about this purpose and this passion, but it also says, and by the way, this is the path to long-term financial success.
Yes.
And it's also the path towards, you talk about people who run themselves into the ground, their health and their families achieving success, and you present this incredible vision of a different path towards financial success and success in all the other areas too.
Yeah. I fortunately stumbled into a weekend workshop when I was 28 that changed my life. It was led by a guy named Ken Kies in the 70s, this was. He'd written a book called Handbook to Higher Consciousness. We did this process called the core belief process, and he taught me an incredible thing that maybe it's obvious when you think about it, but all the beliefs we have about ourselves, about life, about work, about money are not necessarily true in themselves. There's a lot of people that have a very different set of beliefs, but they become true in our experience if we believe them. And he also taught me we can change the beliefs that don't support us and that don't help us have a life, that the kind of life we want. Most people, when you get talking to them, have these beliefs that there isn't enough time, there isn't enough money, it's so hard to succeed, so few people succeed. If you succeed, you got to work really hard. In fact, you got to be. A lot of people believe you have to be a type A workaholic and sacrifice your family or the quality of your life. I choose not to believe any of that. I believe you can succeed in an easy and relaxed manner, a healthy and positive way, something I affirm every day, that you can do it in far less time than you think you need. I was told when I started my company, I was told very vehemently by lots of people, including my father, you have to work 60 to 80 hours a week to succeed as a business. Fortunately, I'd taken that workshop, and my thought was, no, you don't. That's simply a belief. If you have that belief, then you believe it's necessary, and so you either work that hard or you don't, and you feel you undermine yourself then. But I saw that for the belief it was, and I thought about it. I thought, what do I want ideally? And that's where I started with my ideal scene. I want a life of ease. I want success, but I don't want to work too hard. And I created a very successful business, never working more than 30 hours a week in my company.
Wow. And so you said that, well, maybe it's obvious that our beliefs become self-fulfilling prophecies. But I don't think it is obvious. I think that many people who are listening to this have perhaps had the idea that, well, my beliefs are simply a reflection of the life that I look at around me. My beliefs are simply a reflection of the fact that I read the newspaper this morning and I got some evidence about what's happening in the world and what's true and what's not true.
Right.
What would you say to that person?
That's very understandable. That point of view is very understandable. We think our beliefs are true. And we've developed this whole set of beliefs from childhood on, and especially if we had the kind of parents that weren't living a life of abundance, if we had parents that said money doesn't grow on trees like mine did, and basically parents that said, well, it's so hard to succeed, so few people succeed, you've got to work really, really hard to succeed. Then you go to school and you get, well, you know, you got to work much harder, and there's even deep beliefs, you know, you're not really talented enough. You don't have what it takes, is what so many people have picked up. All those beliefs, they do seem to be true to us, and that's why we believe them. But the most valuable thing we can do, and the longest chapter in Visionary Business is about this, is examine our beliefs and think, where did we get these beliefs? And are they true? Well, they aren't true for everybody. There are many other people that have very different beliefs. Donald Trump doesn't believe it's hard to succeed. A whole lot of successful people do not believe it's hard to succeed, including me. In fact, it's very easy. It's very easy to succeed, and anyone can succeed. And we have everything we need. We've all had a unique experience that we can, with the right focus and persistence, we can succeed doing what we love. That's what I believe now. I really believe that. Mm-hmm. Not only me, but anybody can. I really believe that. And I do my best to show people that that can be true for them as well as for me. Because we can change the beliefs that don't support us.
And I mean, that's, I think, one of the things that the Visionary Business, the book, serves, is that, as you mentioned about people's parents, is that, you know, most people believe that, you know, what the truth is what they saw in their own families. And so many people may not have this ideal or this vision or this model, so to speak, of what it would look like to be successful in an easy, relaxed manner in a healthy and positive way, as you say. So the book, in some ways, in addition to all the valuable tips and tools, it serves as this model, at least opening it up as a possibility for people who may have never even thought that this could be a way of being in the world.
Yeah. I really believe it seems to me, most of us had a very poor education. What education could have been and should be is basically what my publishing program is now and what my books are about. Can you imagine if school would have been the teacher coming, and sure, maybe half the time the teacher has to teach kids stuff they don't know, like reading, writing, arithmetic, fine. If the other half of the time the teacher said to the kids, you know what, and this is what I firmly believe, every one of you kids is unique. In fact, every one of you is a creative genius in your own way. How can I help you bring out your genius? How can I support you in doing what you love? And how can we, throughout your 12 years of school here, finally end up creating a plan so that you could succeed doing what you love to do?
That, wow.
That could be what school is.
And that reminds me of one of your tools that you talk about is the, you know, the five-year plan, so to speak.
Yes.
And that is something that could take very little time in any classroom. But you, can you talk a little bit about why that is so effective and exactly what it is?
Yes. I encourage people just to make a one-page plan. Keep it simple. A five-year plan doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out thing at all. What I did the day I turned 30 is actually what changed my life. I jokingly say I had the opposite of the Midas touch through my 20s. Everything I touched fell apart. And I woke up the day I turned 30 and looked at my life from a broader perspective. I realized I wasn't a kid anymore. I had no job. I had no money. I was scrounging every month, a word we used all the time, to pay $65 a month for a one-room slum apartment in a bad part of Oakland, California. And suddenly it wasn't cool anymore. And I did just a few things that I teach to this day. I remembered a little exercise I'd played during a failed back to the land experiment. But one night we were sitting around this fire and this couple said, let's play this game we played at church camp. Let's imagine 5 years have passed and everything has gone as well as you could imagine. What would your life look like? Well, I don't remember a word of what I said originally when we did that around the fire when, in my early 20s. But the day I turned 30, I remembered it. And I took a sheet of paper and put ideal scene at the top and imagined 5 years had passed and I had my ideal life. What would that look like? And I was amazed at what spilled out. I wrote, I have a publishing company. I had no interest in business at all. I write books. I hadn't done that. I record my music. And then when I dared think it through, I also put, I have a big white house on a hill in Marin County, California, the most beautiful place I'd seen in California. And then I actually even put, and I have a life of ease. To dare dream my ideal, I said, I don't work too hard. I have plenty of time for my own creativity and spiritual path and family. And that was my ideal. And that's what I encourage people to do. Imagine 5 years. Dare to write your ideal scene. To dream your ideal. As Stephen Covey said, years later I read a bit of Habits of Highly Successful, 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. The second habit is begin with the end in mind. And I thought, that's what I did with Ideal Scene.
Mm-hmm.
You begin imagining 5 years, your ideal. Then you work backwards from there. From there, I took another sheet of paper and put goals, and I listed all my goals. What would it take to get from here to there? Mm-hmm. It was begin a publishing company, begin to write books, begin recording music, begin learning about real estate.
Yeah.
I had nothing going on. Then the third thing I did, I picked up another sheet of paper after I'd listed my goals, and I rewrote each goal as an affirmation, as if it's coming into being. I am now creating a wonderful, successful publishing company. I am now writing wonderful books that have a great impact in the world. I am now recording beautiful music. And so I wrote all my goals as affirmations. And then over the next few months, it dawned on me that every one of my main goals there, I needed a plan. And I made a one-page plan, a very simple plan, to achieve that goal. That one-page plan in writing is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the simple system I invented when I was 30, and I still do to this day, and that's what I teach.
Wow. And then throughout this book, it is a fictionalized account, but it seems, I guess I'll let you answer, how much overlap does the story in the book map onto your own personal journey?
It definitely follows my own personal journey. The years from 30 to 35, where I started a company not knowing a thing about business, they were really hard, and there was a lot of struggle, and I didn't know anything. And I didn't really have a great role model of somebody who was successful yet had a life of ease. And I was assaulted with doubts and fears, of course, as soon as I dared dream of this kind of success. All these doubts and fears would just overwhelm me. Mm. Yeah, like, impossible, Mark. It's never been done. You know, a life of ease and success. And for you, you don't have what it takes. You don't have the right education. You never studied business. You don't, blah, 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 on and on and on. Overcoming those doubts and fears became the most important work I did. It took me 5 years, but things finally turned around. And the book goes through that. The first draft of the book was absolutely my true story. I really wrote it for my employees here now at the publishing company I have.
Oh, huh.
And then once I read it, I thought, you know, this could really be for everyone if I simplified it. There were too many people, too many characters. I tried to include everything I learned from everybody and every phrase I ever heard that affected me and changed my life. And so I somewhat fictionalized it and just put it all in Bernie's mouth, who was an early mentor for me.
Mm-hmm. And so it I think it serves as an inspiration in the sense that it shows both the ups and the downs, and it includes an incredible amount of wisdom. And there's a couple places where you talk about desire, and
yes,
you quote Deepak Chopra as saying, within every desire is the seed and mechanics for its fulfillment. And you talk about Ralph Waldo Emerson and how he said, you wouldn't have been given your desires in the first place if you didn't have the capability of achieving them. And those are inspiring words. And in these hard times, you know, how do people hang on to that?
Yeah, that's the question a lot of people have been grappling with. I keep stressing that. Another wonderful quote from Napoleon Hill changed my life. This is what turned my life around at 35, hearing on the radio this quote that within every adversity is an equal or greater benefit. Those are the words I heard. Later on, somebody actually said, well, it's within every adversity is the seed of an equal or greater benefit. I thought, well, it's the same thing.
Right.
And even now, whatever economic times are out there, there are people that are going to see tremendous opportunity and take advantages of it. Some people made fortunes right in the middle of the Great Depression. Some people saw opportunities where most people just saw the problems. Most of us get stuck on the problems, on focusing on the empty half of the glass, on, oh, this is a problem, you know, I just got a tremendous email. I just loved it. It made my week. This guy said, Mark, you don't know me, but I lost my job a few months ago. I panicked. I have a wife and kids and a mortgage and no savings. And I did not know what to do, and I went into a bookstore, and he said, I saw your book, The Millionaire Course, which is my other book. But Millionaire Course and Visionary Business say the same things, just in a different way. Visionary Business is more like a story, although at the end of each chapter I just summarize all the points so that you don't even need to read the story to get the teachings.
Mm-hmm.
But he grabbed Millionaire Course, and I went through my steps of ideal scene. Well, he thought, ideally, well, he loved to do carpentry work. Fine carpentry he could do. But he had no tools. So he got to affirmations, and he started affirming, I am now finding all the tools I need for 50% or less of their cost.
Wow.
That was his affirmation, which cracked me up. I was chuckling.
Yeah.
And he said, then he put out the word, you know, he was available for carpentry work, and a friend of a friend knew a woman who needed some work on her house. And so he went over there and looked at this little job she had, and then he looked in her garage, and it was filled with carpentry tools, state-of-the-art,
wow,
top-of-the-line, beautiful tools. And he said, what's the deal with all these tools? And she said, oh, those are my ex-husband's. Do you want to take them off my hands?
Wow.
And so he got all the tools that he needed, trading her for work. And he said he's got more work than he can handle. He's doing great. He loves what he's doing. He's self-employed. And
wow.
It all happened in a few months.
That is an incredible story.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Again, I think it gives people a sense that whatever you're hearing on the news, there are these other ways of thriving in these times.
Yes. I keep saying the news should be called the bad news. It really should.
Yeah.
William Randolph Hearst said that. He said, if it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
You know, there's 300 million people in this country, over 6 billion in the world. There's always going to be some bad news and some people killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the news focuses on. People have tried to have good news, but it seems less interesting somehow. I don't know. It hasn't caught on in the mass media.
Yeah.
But literally, there is tremendous good news. Focus on that. Focus on opportunity. Remember that phrase. Within every adversity, there's an equal or greater benefit. Within every problem is an opportunity. Ask yourself, what opportunities are in front of me right now? If you ask that question, you'll start getting answers, regardless of your situation.
Mm-hmm. So that's the question that, if someone's listening to this, and just that's the question to start with. There's opportunities and sitting in front of me right now. What are they? And just start generating as many answers as you can think of.
Yep, that's the question that changed my life. At 35, I was almost bankrupt. My company was on the verge of bankruptcy. Our distributor had collapsed, hadn't paid us for 6 months' worth of sales. I had no savings. In fact, I was $65,000 in credit card debt. And this was the early 80s.
Mm.
So in today's dollars, I was thinking, it's got to be $150,000 or something.
Yeah.
I was deeply in credit card debt, on the verge of bankruptcy. And I heard that phrase, and I started saying, okay, what opportunities are right in front of my face right now?
Mm-hmm.
What benefits are even within this problem? What benefits? And a few years after that, I read in the Bhagavad Gita from India this great phrase, even in the knocks of life, we can find great gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So I started saying, what gifts? Okay, I'm experiencing the knocks of life. I'm almost bankrupt. What gifts are there right in front of my face that I'm not seeing? What opportunities? What benefits? You ask those questions and you start getting answers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is definitely a message that is important for these times and certainly very timely. Where can listeners learn more about your work and your other books? And your workshops and even your music.
Well, gee, thanks for asking. They can go to markallen.com, markallen.com, or even newworldlibrary.com has a wonderful Mark Allen section. I do a free teleconference usually the first Wednesday of every month. My next one is July 8th. On Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific time, and that's totally free. You can get details on the web. I also have these mentoring groups I do and a bunch of books and, yeah, a bunch of music. They can go to my website and sample the music from there.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Mark. And I think it's a visionary business, an entrepreneur's guide to success. And as I said, I think every person out there who is watching the news and beginning to develop some negative core beliefs should run out and get this book as soon as possible.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks, Laura.
Okay,
thanks,
take care, Mark.
You too.